This is Catherine McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Time to do the Skype thing.
Morning.
Joining me, I think, is Lee Tuttle. Lee, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
You sound wide awake for being on the West Coast.
I know. It's early.
Well, you're faking it. Well done.
Thanks. Well, when you have two little kids, you get up really early. So I've been up for a few hours now.
Really? So how early with two little kids?
So I get up around 6 today.
That's not early. Come on.
I mean, I know, but I'm not in Marine Corps, so that's pretty early.
Oh, it is. All right. For a mom. All right. One would think that you would be able to influence your children to sleep later. No?
Well, how do I do that?
You're a mom.
Give me some tips.
I don't know. You run them around at night? What time do they go to bed?
Between 7:30 and 8.
How about we start working on 9 o'clock? Keep them up a little bit?
No, because I don't want them up till 9 o'clock.
Oh. Okay.
I like having some time, like, where they're asleep, and I'm, like, hanging out with my husband without kids running around.
All right. I got it. What about, so do you stay up late? They go to bed at 7:38 and you go to bed at like 8:15. Mm-hmm. Like are you one of those people? Because they are out there.
I go to bed like around 10-ish. I feel like that's normal. That's pretty a normal person's schedule.
You know what?
Right?
Okay. No, you're right. I hear you. What about all right now? First of all, we need to.
What time did you go to sleep when your kids were young?
See, my ex-wife, she used to, you know, like most wives, like scheduled, right?
Yeah.
But I didn't like schedule. Like my kids are on her schedule. I don't get to see them. So I'm in the field. I come home like, oh, the kids are down. So like, when do I see them on the weekends? So I would go in the bedroom. What's up, boys?
And, oh, my God.
Exactly. But she was cool about it because
so mad at you.
She would get mad at me. But you know what? I mean, they can't just be on her schedule to write. I mean, like, I'm half of the franchise.
Well, I will say I do understand a bit of your point because it is hard. Like, my husband was, you know, doing some exercise here. And although he wasn't gone, you know, like, he still didn't see my kids. My kids knew he was home, but they weren't seeing him, and my kids just could not understand that. Like, well, Dad said he might see us tonight, and I didn't see him. Like, when am I going to see him?
And did you say when did you say when I allow it?
Oh, my God.
When I allow your father to see you, that's when that will happen. No. Oh, no. You wouldn't say that. You wouldn't say that because that would expose the tyranny of the wife.
Well, you know, also, he would go in there and, like, you know, say hello and give him, like, a back rub. But, you know, little kids, they don't, like, really wake up to that. I don't want him going in there loud and, like, wake up, let's play basketball.
Why would you not want that?
Say hi.
Because
I would be the one dealing with it the next day.
Hi, pumpkins. How is everybody? Daddy's home. That's not how dads do it. Do you want those kind of kids? You have to go in and say, what's up? Right? And they roll over. They get that big smile on their face. My dad's home. Yeah. And your wife's just hating your guts. Like, okay,
yeah,
you're going to stay up.
Come home at 1 a.m. Don't do that to my kids at 1 a.m. I will not like that.
Are you going to stay up with them now? No, I got to go to sleep. I got to get up. I got to get up.
Yeah.
I got
to
get up in 4 hours.
Back at 7 a.m., so good night.
Exactly. All right.
Yeah,
life.
It's not fair.
No, it isn't fair. Okay, so we got to reintroduce you to people. So, Lee, you're born and raised where?
I grew up outside of Philadelphia.
Okay. Are you a Phillies fan? Are you excited they have Bryce Harper?
I am. Did you see that article this morning about his transitional contacts?
No. The
yes,
only articles I see about that
one.
Guy.
So you know those like really dorky transitional lenses that people have?
No.
Okay, like they're glasses that when you step outside they turn into sunglasses.
Oh, no. I've only seen...
But he has these for his contact lenses now. He's like the first one to ever have these. Isn't that crazy?
I guess when you have that kind of money, you can do those kind of things. You know what I did see, though? A friend of mine is colorblind. And there are now glasses that you can buy, depending on how the way you're colorblind, that you put them on, and it's like the Wizard of Oz when it goes from black and white to color.
I know. I saw that. My dad's colorblind, and I asked him. I was like, oh, should I get you these for your birthday? He's like, hell no. I don't ever want to put those on because I don't want to see, like, what I've been missing and, like, what, you know, he's like, I would just have to wear those glasses all the time. It's like, no, I don't ever want to see that.
You should get them for him. My friend, no, Mike, went, in fact, you can hear it on this program, because he was like, I had no idea the grass was that green, right?
Right.
And listen to this. Here's why you should get it. So I said, so what's been the best part of having them? He said, seeing how blue my wife's eyes are.
Aww.
He said that. I went, so that is awesome. So, yeah, so I vote in favor for that. All right, so you're fired okay. up to have Bryce Harper and his hair in Philadelphia. The
yeah.
Okay, so, and you meet an Army Ranger.
Well, he's got a rain.
Oh, I'm sorry, he's a Green Beret guy. He's a special guy.
Yeah.
So you meet him. You knew each other when you were younger, and you kind of reconnect, yes?
Yep.
All right, and now you're stationed at Joint Base Lewis-McChord. Up in just a little bit south of Seattle.
Correct.
All right. So
correct.
Give us a little background. You guys come from Okinawa, and you guys begin to experience some housing issues and then some medical issues. Tell everybody just kind of the lead up to where we are today.
So when we moved into housing on Fort Polk, Louisiana, you know, I initially walked into that house and just knew, I thought it was just, like, dirty at first. You know, it just smelled mildewy and wet, and the carpets were damp. And I just, you know, I just thought it was dirty. And I tried my best to, we went out and, like, steam cleaned the carpets ourselves. Nothing was getting better. Within the first few weeks, my kid was in the doctor's office with respiratory issues. And when we were in Okinawa, he could play all day outside on the beach in the, you know, humidity and the heat, without ever stopping. And there's an immediate change in him from his voice, the way he sounded, to these dark circles under his eyes that he actually still has today. And there was this like lingering cough that would never go away. So throughout our time there, he's just getting increasingly worse. My husband is starting to develop this god awful cough that my neighbors can hear. And they're like, oh, your husband's home. I can hear him like, you know, coughing through the walls. It was really, really bad. So he eventually has to be put on an inhaler for his cough and these, you know, very intense prescription cough suppressants. So while this is all happening, I'm thinking, God, like something is, you know, this isn't right. Something's going on. So I'm, you know, hearing chatter that there's these pervasive mold issues on Fort Polk. So I look in our air ducts and see, you know, just mold spores galore. I also pull up the carpets and there's black mold under my carpets. I request an air test, and that was after, I requested this air test after they had someone come out and clean my ducts, and this mold comes immediately back. And
hold
the
on,
procedure
can I clean my ducts was a head stomach. Can I interject something? So when they say that they're going to clean the air ducts, right, they come out with a shot vac.
Right. And well, they say it was a HEPA vacuum. It was duct taped together, and the guy who was doing it, I look him up with my super investigative skills on Google, and he is a fence installer and a headstone maker.
There you go. Exactly, the guy you want sucking that black mold out of your ventilation system.
Yeah, really certified to be doing these.
And again, what he is he's the guy who will work for the cheapest to go out and vacuum that, and he's available that day so we can get this off the books. That's what
that
is.
Right, he sprays some enzyme in my air ducts.
Boom, done. Anything else, lady?
Right. Yeah, exactly. All comes back. They finally give me an air quality test. Which I now know, I wish I had known then what I know now, because it wasn't even performed exactly how it should have been. The results come back, they're bad. So they say, okay, well, we'll give you new carpet downstairs, and we believe that this will take care of the problem. Okay, so someone comes in to replace my carpet. It's this young kid, and he pulls it all up, and there's even, you know, more black mold that I hadn't seen before, and it's on the back of the carpet, it's on the padding of the carpet. And I'm saying, okay, so how are you going to get rid of this mold? And he's like, well, I can't really say that's what it is, but yeah, that's what it is. Like, we can use some ammonia on it and bleach. And I didn't know at the time that, you know, bleach is actually one of the worst things you can do for mold on a porous substance, because that will feed it. And all the while, he's also telling me that they will not be replacing the padding of this carpet, which is just outrageous. He's even like, I've never heard of this practice before. So I'm like, okay, we'll stop. We're not going to continue. So I had to fight to get new padding for this carpet as well. Results come back after they do another air test, and they're shockingly better. But I noticed the chain of custody is broken on this result that I get back. So all the while this is happening, my kid's in and out of the doctor, gets his tonsils and adenoids removed. By the time we leave, he is on a rescue inhaler, has been diagnosed with asthma, has had a few ER visits due to his oxygen level. And my daughter also is on a nebulizer. Even at 7 months, she was in the ER and had to be put on steroids for a respiratory infection.
Now, where was your daughter born?
She was born in Louisiana. When we moved there, I was pregnant.
So this starts in Louisiana, yes?
Yes.
All right. Keep going.
So we move. You know, we move to California. My husband gets better. And he was always, my husband was only affected when he was in that house. When he would go TDY, he was totally fine. And in fact, I would bring the kids to the hotel he was staying in if it was close in a driving distance, because everyone was better when we were in a hotel. So in California, you know, my kid's still in and out of, you know, these doctors and specialists, asthma, and, you know, to this day, you know, I have a pediatric pulmonary appointment with my son up in Seattle at Seattle Children's the middle of April. So we'll see what happens with that.
Right.
But he did test positive to be allergic to the mold that was most prevalent in my home.
Awesome. All right, yeah. So that's how this starts. Now, this thing blows up in hearings in February and March in front of the Senate Armed Services Committee. After Reuters publishes a couple of articles that are very long, very in-depth, very well footnoted,
right.
One of the reasons that you love actual real journalism in this country, and one of the things real journalism is supposed to do, and so the spotlight gets shined on this issue. Now, the last time we saw it in front of the American people, you know, senators were expressing outrage. And so those of us who've been around these things before know that this is like running the script, right? So now that we're in the outrage phase. So I wanted to have you on today so that you could bring us up to date, because, to quote you, supporting the troops is more than putting a bumper sticker on your car. And everybody needs to think about that, all right? Because when people likely say, we need your help, that's not bullshit, right? That is real people who do not have a lot of the choices and options that you do as a civilian. So when they say, we need your help, that means you have two senators and a congressman that you need to call them or write them and say, I won't vote for you unless you help make this right. Because that's what they understand. And so we're in the outrage phase now. And if these seats run true to form, what happens is the service secretaries will come back and they'll report, well, yeah, we've got everybody in quality housing, blah, blah, blah. And then the steam begins to go out of the balloon. And then the people likely that have been physically damaged and other people that have been financially damaged are left to go by themselves through the civil process. And these companies will drag it sideways. And they'll cost them a ton of money and lawyers that most of these families don't have. And then most of those cases will ultimately be dropped. And so we're watching this. And I wanted to bring Lee back on and ask, where are we today? Not quite a month after the last hearing. So where are we today? Can you give us an update?
Yeah. So all of the services have completed their walkthroughs or visits of these homes. At least I know the Army has. I think the Air Force might have a little bit longer to go till they have that report in. But one thing I want to say is, like, I want to see that report. Although they did these walkthroughs of these homes or these home visits, let's remember that that's not going to show a chain of command cannot go into a house and say, okay, yeah, you have lead in your water, you have lead paint, you have, toxic water that will, cause brain damage in your children. That's not going to show in these inspections. So I want, that needs to be addressed, I think, first and foremost as well in this. So on April 4th, there will be a hearing on the House side, which I am so very excited for, and a lot of members on the House side have shown a real interest in this, and including Congressman Panetta, whose staff is traveling the country visiting bases. And during these visits, they meet with command, they meet with housing, and then they meet with families. And from these visits, they are trying to decipher really where this massive breakdown of communication is and really what these services and these companies are providing for families.
Let me stop you in your update here for a second. Tell us about Congressman Panetta. Where does his interest come from? And are there any other members on that committee that have been helpful to you? Or I guess who've been most helpful after you talk about Panetta? So who is Panetta and why is he interested?
So Congressman Panetta represents, I can't remember the number of the district, but Monterey, California. And Monterey, California, as some of you know, is home to the Naval Postgraduate School as well as the Army's Defense Language Institute. So right there, he has a pretty big contingent of military. And with that said, he's a big supporter of NPS. His father has been involved in that community as well, his father, Leon Panetta. And when we were at MPS, we got pretty involved, and I reached out to some people I know there, and they really have showed support. They said, well, you should, reach out to Congressman Panetta. I really think that this is something that he would be interested in. And Congressman Panetta doesn't even sit on the Armed Services Committee. But he is taking this active interest, and just last week there was an article put out that stated that he is looking to form a new caucus called the Four Country Caucus that will include 16 to 19 members of Congress who are veterans. So with that said, I'm really hoping that maybe they will issue something publicly on this. And one of the congresswoman who is helping to found this caucus, Representative Coulihan, she is my parents' representative, and she has been really helpful as well with us in trying to get up to date and getting all the facts. So she has been really helpful, and the ranking member, Max Thornberry's office, has been extremely helpful as well, and they have been checking in periodically to get updates.
Who else has been so who else on that committee has been helpful to you? Who's been most helpful?
I would say Congressman Wall, so he's not on that committee, but Congressman Thornberry's office for sure.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay. So talk to us about so Panetta's interested and there's a command piece in this thing, there's a housing piece in this thing, there's a family piece in this thing. So talk to me about let's talk about families first. With the people that you've been in touch with, are families pleased with the way this is going? Are they not pleased and concerned? How would you characterize the way the families feel based on your discussions?
Well, there's still plenty of families that are in homes that they shouldn't be in, that are dangerous to their health, and in fact some may be condemned once they are out of these homes. And I think there's a lot of confusion as well. While we are told you need to go to your chain of command, I have a woman here who, thankfully, she was just put into a new house, but she had been notifying command of these issues since February 28th, and she just last week was moved into a new home. So why is that happening? I can't figure out what command can actually do. And she also told me that.
Well, hold on. Isn't the command supposed to be the advocate for the service member?
They are, but I don't think that we quite understand how these contracts are written. I'm not too sure command has the authority to go into the housing office and say, you must put this person in a safe home or a hotel.
They may not have that authority, but they could certainly be on record as saying, hey, it is our recommendation to do this, and we would very much like to see that done. And if the base commander, normally a general officer, but in some cases a colonel, if the base commander says that, that normally carries a significant amount of weight. And I'm not so privy to these contracts, but the way these contracts are written, if that guy says they don't rate, they should not be awarded the bonus that goes with these contracts, then I would think that would carry some weight. If that guy who controls that pool of money is saying, do this, or else I'm not going to be pleased. Let me ask you a more fundamental question. Do you think that families feel that the commands are their advocate, or do you feel like families are still either unsettled or confused and don't believe that when they have a problem, they can run to the command and the command's going to turn and do that? Where does that issue sit?
I believe some commands. I know that I have some friends at West Point who say that their commands are doing great things for families. But in most instances, there's something lost in translation. This woman, why did it take that long to get her into a hotel? Why was she reaching out to me on social media and others on social media to make this happen? It wasn't command who got her in a home. Apparently it was another advocate. So where is, there's no accountability. There's no authority for this. And with that said, I also think that, if you're a lower ranking enlisted soldier, who do you go to? You go to your captain. Your captain then has to go to your colonel. Your colonel then has to go up to garrison. That's a lot of steps.
And because one of the things that came out of that hearing is one of the undersecretaries of the Army in 2013, if I'm not mistaken, wrote a memo that said, yeah, we are out of the inspections business, and so you can let those people go. And so anybody who would have been kind of in a position that would know housing, inspect it, and maybe be an advocate, at least in the Army, those people were let go. And
correct.
So what infrastructure is there relative to that? No, you need to take that command, that you need to take that problem to the housing office, right? And the housing office now is a private company.
So there's really no infrastructure for this. We're running into a problem that they are trying to fix as it's happening.
So no infrastructure, no authority, and no budget for a commander to say, okay, put them up in immediately in a hotel. He's got his own funds to do that, and then we will sort this out, but get them to safety immediately. So bottom line is that it's a mixed bag across the country. And when you say mixed bag, would you say it skews to the negative or the positive?
I would say negative. I mean, it's across the board. I was on the phone with a woman last night in Virginia who has been in a hotel for over a month, and not just a one-bedroom hotel. No kitchen. Like, you got to think, while housing might be paying for her hotel, like, that's a lot of money to be out. Not to mention, she said her five-year-old is having, issues, and she's getting calls from the military life family counselor because her son is just not, acting normal. And she said he's just so stressed out. And of course he is. You can't take a five-year-old and move him into a one-bedroom hotel away from all of his things for 6 weeks. Expect him to, find that this is, acceptable and normal in his life.
Got it. Talk to me about, have you seen anything a big part of the hearing was these contracts and making them public. Has there been any progress made on that?
No. Not that I'm aware of. I have not been able to get a straight answer on who has them and if they will be made public. From my understanding, they will not be, which I can't understand that. You would think that if there is some super highly sensitive OPSEC purpose to that, perhaps, but it's a housing contract. And I also wonder, one of these companies is a publicly traded company, so shouldn't we be able to see their finances?
The answer to that is yes.
Correct.
And then there was... go ahead.
No, you go ahead. The whole contract thing is pretty outrageous to me. I have received a redacted one, and I haven't gone through all of it, but it looks like the blame is placed somehow between the DOD and these companies. It says the company needs to be aware that they are accepting all of these homes as is, including all environmental factors. And then a few pages later, it says environmental factors that occurred prior to the signing of this contract are still the DOD is still accountable for this.
Okay, so let me summarize. So very little movement in terms of the housing contract. Confusion, right, and a mixed bag relative to command involvement. And that would bleed, that would kind of be represented by confusion and not kind of knowing what to do or who to trust in contact with families. So still a mixed bag skewing to the negative.
Correct.
Okay. Let me ask you something else I've read. The non-disclosure agreements that came up in the hearing that was on March 7th, I believe, I've talked to people that have told me that those things have morphed into different titled documents and that they're still around. Yay or nay?
Yes, they are. They are being called discretionary concession check forms. They are being called, release of claims and hold harmless agreements. So these families are put in a really hard situation, right? Either you sign this and we put you into a new home with no, financial impact to you. We'll move you, and, you know, we won't make you, you know, pay for a lease break fee. Or you don't sign this, and you have to pay thousands of dollars. And really, that's not an option for a lot of people. And what's going to happen down the road, especially for these ones who are signing these hold harmless agreements, is what's going to happen in 5 to 10 years when their health really is negatively impacted and they have to go see these specialists and they need to go, you know, have dozens upon dozens of prescriptions. They can't take these companies to court.
Hello?
Are you there?
Yeah, something happened. So there was a hiccup. Yeah. Well, okay, what about... So in spite of senators, United States senators, right, pounding the pounding the platform that they were sitting at about non-disclosure agreements, what's happened is, you know, and again, you just haven't heard that from one place, right? You've heard this from across the country.
No.
That these things have been morphed into things that say different things, but still conceptually, you're not allowed to talk about this work if we do it, or you're not allowed to talk about this agreement if we make it. Those,
right?
That's right. I mean, that's just, to me, that's just amazing. I mean, it's completely in defiance of what all of us saw coming out of that hearing.
Right, and also they're changing these leases now, so. The family here that is moving into this new house, the lease went from 10 pages to, she said, it's 47 pages long now, and there's a mold addendum in it.
And what does the mold addendum say?
It says that mold is a normal occurrence, basically, and she's going to be signing that because she needs a home.
So mold is a normal occurrence. Okay.
Mold is a normal occurrence, and that they're not responsible for that.
But you own the housing, so like, okay, so I'll give you that some mold is a normal occurrence. Okay?
Sure.
Like the mold in the grout, right? Or the caulk, not the grout, but the caulking in my shower. That little discoloration mold, right, is normal, okay? Black mold is not. So
yeah, mold in your air ducts or your, you know, air conditioning unit, I would say, is not normal.
Okay, talk to me about, so as this issue has gone down, they've gone down the road here the last 60 days or so, and I know you've been living it longer, but it's kind of exploded in the public spotlight since the start of the year. Where are you now in terms of, what needs to be done here? Okay. Are you, so talk to me about what you guys want, and is there a you guys yet, or is it still kind of a series of these are your people on social media organizing? Explain to us the organization effort and then tell me what you guys want.
So we are currently organizing a nonprofit, and with that said, there needs to be funds for these families that are not put into temporary lodging, and that needs to be happening, like, right away. So that's our first step with that, and things that we want would be all families that are in homes and barracks that are dangerous to their health to be immediately moved at no cost to safe housing with a timeline of remediation or a date of moving into a new home. Because right now families are just lingering in temporary lodging.
Okay, so number one is get people to permanent family homes and out of and temporary lodging.
And temporary lodging, but with a timeline of when they will be in a home.
Okay. All right.
Or back to their home. or back to their home after being remediated.
Got it. So that's under the guise of get everybody to permanent, safe housing.
Correct.
All right.
Correct.
So that's one.
Mm-hmm. I would say number two would be an independent verification of air quality, lead paint, and contamination of water using the EPA standards and best practices.
Okay. Well, I mean,
these companies need to work for, they need to be vetted by the branch of service as well, rather than just housing.
Okay. So what we're looking at is which would seem very prudent, that there's a tenant in a government housing project that's been taken over by a private company, and the private company is trying to do repairs with Larry the Cable Guy, with mold in your ductwork, and there should be somebody that can come and say, you know, Larry the Cable Guy did a great job. We've tested it. I'm bonded. This is what I do for a living, and here's the test, and I've signed off that this is good. There should be somebody independent that gets paid by the government, not by the housing contractor, to go ahead and do a version of that. Yes, like a building inspector in the city.
Right, right, exactly.
Okay.
There needs to be, you know, inspectors going through, and, you know, maybe for the next 2 years, these homes should be inspected quarterly. And then as we get up to standard, then perhaps we move to every 5 years or every 2 years.
Okay. All right. So that would be the second piece of this thing. All right. What's next?
Right. Next, I would say, is amending the contracts for accountability and oversight. There should be no guarantees of profits, and service members deserve the right to send and write their own check to these private companies managing the home without the DOD automatically sending the BAH.
Right, and you and I both know that's a big deal because, you know, one of the financial pieces to this is that you don't have to have any administration. I mean, think about that. There's no administration relative to collecting rent or anything. It all comes to you on the 30th and the 15th day of the month from the DOD into your bank account.
Correct. But there is, because I go on LinkedIn and I look for what type of jobs are being hired out of this. And I did see that there is one of these companies that is hiring someone who strictly deals with the books and BAH, and it said on there one of the things that they look for is you must keep up with the service member's rank, so promotions or, you know, loss of rank. So as soon as my husband would make a promotion, they're going to make sure that they are deducting, you know, his new BAH.
Oh, so they're on that.
They are on that, yes.
To make
so
sure.
They do have people who are doing this, yeah.
So to make sure that they don't get screwed out of. But you know what? I don't know. That's kind of ridiculous because the DOD does that automatically. You get promoted. It's computers roll all that data. And I would think that adjustment would be instantly made. It's not like the DOD is waiting for paperwork for your promotion to get to Washington, D.C. like the old days. So I'm a little bit curious about why they do that because, I mean, the money just rolls. The point is the money just rolls in, and the system I heard talked about was not what Lee's talking about, is that, look, I'm an adult. I pay my rent if I live out in town. If I own a home, I pay my mortgage, but I live on base, and I'm not allowed to do any of that, right? They get my money.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense, you know, and I spoke with a DOD representative over the weekend, and I suggested this to him, and he just thought it was outrageous because, you know, well, the younger service members, you know, they can't be responsible enough to pay their rent. I mean, how insulting is that? Do you go after them when they don't make a car payment?
Well, it's why you let them figure this out
on their own, like an adult.
It's why people will take them as renters. It's why people will will sell them cars immediately because they know they have leverage. They know that, they're going to be employed for 3 years. They know they make good money relative to their civilian counterparts. And they know that they have legal recourse because once you sic the DOD or a command on somebody for failure to pay, they tend to get action. And so they're standing there ready to lend them money, but God forbid that they should be allowed to write their own check. Interesting.
Right.
Interesting. And the system that was articulated at the Senate hearing in March was that you would be allowed to not approve your rent payment being paid, and that would go to an escrow account. So still, there'd be no administration necessary, no cost associated with this system. It just might delay it until the tenant was happy with the work that was done.
Right, but I mean, even with this whole thing going to escrow, like, who is, so then I have to ask someone else's authority to stop, yeah, maybe I can stop my rent payment, right? I'm glad that they are, you know, considering that as an option. But who do I then go to say, hey, Colonel so-and-so, or, you know, Garrison Commander, I've been having these issues for weeks upon weeks. When can I get an appointment with you for you to go over what's going on in my house and then ask you to stop my BAH payment?
Yeah, what's the process for that? Is it simply I log on to a website and I go...
I highly doubt that.
I click and I say, I'm not paying that.
Yeah, no one has said what they are thinking that will be.
Okay, so that's under the guise of these contracts need to be fixed, and service members ought to be allowed the right to pay their own rent, which allows them to withhold their rent, which will be an interesting thing because you're either going to come down on one or two sides, in my opinion, of that issue, right? You're going to come down on the service member side and say, why not? But when you say why not, that what that means to the private housing company is that our costs just went up all across the country because now we have to hire people to track this stuff and to make sure we know about it. And that will be the rub on that. So that'll be a very interesting discussion. All right, that's number three. What's number four? Is there a number four?
Reimbursement financially for those who've been affected by the negligence of these companies. So those who have paid to move out of their homes on their own, those of people who have lost everything due to contamination, those who have...
Explain what you mean by that, because I've heard these stories, but I don't think a lot of people understand when you say contamination and they have to throw their household goods out. What are you talking about?
Well, across the country, people have been just literally walking away from everything. Imagine just leaving your house one day because you think that there's mold in it, housing company coming and agreeing with you and saying they're going to remediate. They then bring in someone to remediate this house that has been built prior to 1978, and they're sanding the mold away. So while they're sanding mold away, mold spores is going all over everything. And not only that, but dust from lead paint. This family has had to walk away from everything. People have had to walk away from everything because of mold growing on everything from, you know, children's bed sheets to their clothes.
Because they're contaminated.
Because they're contaminated, yeah.
All right. So that's what we're talking about. Okay. So that's number five. Anything else?
Rescind all the NDAs. Hold harmless agreements, release of claims, stress hearing check forms.
Got anything else?
And start to inspect all the homes prior to moving families in and bring all the homes up to date on local housing safety codes. Have them tested for lead paint and test the water quality.
So when you walk in, there's going to be an independent contract that says, I've tested the water, I've tested the air, this house is fit for human consumption.
And they have to disclose all the prior maintenance on the home.
Like a punch list that you go through with a contractor when you buy a home, so that you would as the next tenant, you would be able to go look through that and say, yeah, you know, all that stuff looks like, oh, whoa, wait about this. With mold and the ductwork, right? And so right. you're there with the contractor. Can we look at that? Ladder gets brought out, flashlights pull out. We look in there, and you can see, right, you could go up there and eat your dinner. Here's the, if you look at this form, this is the air sample we took out of that, and this is how it checks out. Okay, I mean, like, that's not unreasonable, right?
I don't think it's unreasonable at all. I think it's completely reasonable, especially to have these homes being, like, inspected to make them up to local safety codes. All Why right. is that not happening?
Okay, something that I've been screaming about that you haven't said a word about is how do the people whose physical health has been impacted, how do they get taken care of in all of this? Is that a part of it?
Right, so that is part of it, and that will be something that we are absolutely pushing for is, you know, health care for life for the people who have been affected by this. My son will now have a pre-existing condition.
Is it possible for that? Is it possible for that to go away?
I think it is. Yeah, I think that asthma can go away in children, but if it doesn't, he will have that. There are, you know, service members who are getting chaptered out because they have been put on inhalers.
Right. Right. So they have a permanent, because asthma is a disqualifying condition relative to military service. So
correct.
Just so everybody knows that. Okay, so with that, like, probably 7 or 8 point platform, what's next? So there's the hearing on April 4th, and that's going to be a House hearing. What about on the Senate side? That, you know, so we saw two hearings in relatively short order. In less than 30 days, just in about 3 weeks, you saw two hearings. What's next on the Senate side?
I believe the Senate will be having another hearing, and I know that they are investigating. Actually, just last night, I spoke with your contact over at Senator Cotton's office.
Yes.
Yeah, she's good. So I sent her a document, and she is collecting everything and sending it over to whoever is investigating.
And Senator Cotton, former Army infantry officer, I think he's an 82nd Airborne or 101st, I think 82nd Airborne guy, but Afghanistan, Iraq guy, and he was pretty blunt, and he asked them, do I have your word, right, that there will be no retribution? Yes, 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 yes. Do I have your word that, commands, right, will be supportive of these efforts? Yes, 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 yes. So he was pretty blunt, and so I'm curious to see where this stuff goes. And I mean, out of the Senate, you had Senator Kaine saying, why aren't local codes applied to these homes? You had Senator Blumenthal, right, who's normally not down with conservative causes, but he's a former Marine, and he was talking about referring this to the DOJ for criminal behavior by these companies. And so I'm really curious to see after they have a little bit of time to poke around, because when they poke around, they're only going to find more of it. It's not like they're going to find less of it. It's not like they're going to start poking around and go, oh, you know, this was much ado about nothing. And that's what's so infuriating about this with those undersecretaries for installations and logistics there, right? And I know this because this is my experience. If you pick up the phone, or if you just got on your keyboard and you have a 10-minute discussion with any of the women involved in this, and it's women involved in it because the guys won't get involved with it because they're afraid. Like, yeah, I'm not sure that right. I can do this. So that's an issue relative to, is somebody going to, you know, take some kind of retribution against my career for this, which is bullshit.
Right. So listen, so I don't know if I shared this with you yet, but I think I read the article. Yeah, it was yesterday. So yesterday, as you know, MacDill Air Force Base has been really highlighted in this whole debacle. And yesterday...
So MacDill Air Force Base is Tampa, right?
Tampa, yes.
Tampa, home of Special Operations Command and CENTCOM.
So General Votel is on his way out. He will be retiring, I believe, next month. So this article comes out about his time in service. And at the very end, it says, General Votel and his wife, Michelle, were forced to move out of their home in MacDill Air Force Base in 2016 due to mold. After they moved out, the next home they moved into burned down because of an electrical issue. So that to me is, first off, horrifying, and it shows the scope of this issue, but also, why is someone who could be really championing this cause speaking out before they retire, right before they retire?
Why?
I think that's really telling.
Explain it to me.
Well, I think this goes back to the whole culture of why is no one talking? Why is there no one in the service up there saying, this has happened to me? He's saying this now, and I'm so thankful he is, but you're saying it as you're leaving. And that shows to me that there's a real problem if you can't say this when you're still worrying about your career. And maybe I'm misinterpreting it, but that is what it sounds like to me.
So we have General Bodel, who we've all watched at CENTCOM, right? He's moving out of his house, and we're getting the nothing to see here. Nothing to see here. Move along, right?
Right.
How long did he wait in a one-bedroom room in a hotel before he got new quarters? Do you know?
Yeah. I have no idea. I'm sure never.
Never. All right. So, are you, we have about 6 minutes. Are you,
point I want to make really quick. So I was watching, since I'm really nerdy now, since all this, I had C-SPAN on yesterday morning because there was a hearing, there was a House hearing on the DOD budget that's looking to be passed. And a Representative Kildee out of Michigan had some really interesting statements, and he started off by talking about PFAS, which is, I can't remember the first word, polyalkaline, but it's the fire retardant that has been used in military trainings and on bases, and it's leaching into the water systems. And so that is going on in his district. So he's, you know, saying that this needs to be looked into. Like, we've been dealing with this for years. Why is nothing happening on the DOD side? He also said that when he heard about the lead paint issues in the Army, he asked for a briefing by members of the Army. They came in and they said that this was all just a perception problem. There's no real problem with lead paint. So he stated that he was extremely upset to hear that, you know, the Secretary of the Army, you know, a few weeks ago said that it's unconscionable that people are living in these conditions. So he even had been lied to about this.
Does that surprise you, though?
No, it doesn't.
I just, like you, I don't get it. I don't get it because, and the thing that bothers me about seeing the four undersecretaries, or I think they're called assistant secretaries now, for installations and logistics at that table on the 7th of March, was that if you pick up the phone, you get on a keyboard, and you interact with any of the women involved in this for 10 minutes, then you will find out how many people they know around the nation, how many bases that are experiencing this. And all they want to do is introduce you to other people that are having the same issues. And they tell you these terrible stories. So, and that's why, in my opinion, you know, you need to start collecting JPEGs of show me who you sent your emails to. So just blow it up on the screen, right? Just the way it is. Just do a screenshot of that and send that to me. And you're going to see all these people have known about this stuff. They've all gotten the emails. And what did they do? Nothing? Nothing. That's what you did. And it's just, it's infuriating. And then they go in front of the Senate and they play, you know, then they act stupid. Well, you know, and to me, what I'd love to see is just get, you know, how long do you think it would take you to get 100 of those? You know, a day? And put a blast it out, and it would take maybe a day or two. Different women that would say, I sent this one, I sent this one, I sent this one, I sent with, and look who's on the two line. General this, assistant secretary that. And then that way you have the senators being able to say, is this you on the two line? Is that email address correct? So you got this. You did nothing. And I don't know. It's very infuriating. So are you optimistic, pessimistic, or neutral about the future of this?
I would say I'm a bit neutral. I'm really hoping that something comes out of this DOJ investigation. I know that there's still, you know, active big-time investigators looking into this on the media side.
Mm-hmm.
So with that said, I'm hoping that they drop something, and I would love to see it happen before this hearing.
Yeah, you'd love to see Reuters bomb out another one of those articles with pictures and say, you know, in spite of all the bullshit, you know,
right.
outrage and indignation, this is what continues to happen, and just continue
right.
to lay the wood to them. All right. What haven't I been smart enough to ask you that that you want to tell everybody?
Gosh, I mean, there's just so much going on. I would just like to say that if anyone is able to get to that hearing on April 4th, please go. I think the more people we have, that will, you know, be like a good sign for to show that everyone is interested in this. April 4th at 10:30. So please go. And please contact your congressmen and women and tell them that you want to see some action on this.
All right. If people want to get a hold of you, Lee, and my guest for the last hour has been Lee Tuttle. She's our expert in this area. She's the wife of a United States Army Green Beret major. And so, Bobby Tuttle. So can they contact you? Can they find you? Or do you not?
Yeah,
do that?
Absolutely. So you can contact me. My email is leentuttle@gmail.com. You can find me on Facebook, Lee Tuttle. You can find me on Twitter, Lee Tuttle.
Okay, so no Lee, L-E-I-G-H, no dots or anything in there in your email address? Lee N. Tuttle?
Nope.
Okay.
Correct.
Got it.
Yeah, so please contact me.
And you can they find you on Facebook?
Yep, Lee Tuttle on Facebook and Lee Tuttle on Twitter.
All right, remember, L-E-I-G-H, Lee Tuttle. All right, I will talk to you, okay? And I just want you to know, all of us hear this, and we can't believe it, but how much I think we all respect what you're doing and your fight. And so, but keeping our fingers crossed is not enough, all right? We all have to take, you know, the 60 seconds to sit down and write an email maybe 5 minutes to write an email and send it to three people and say, I am concerned about this. You need to be concerned too. And my vote will depend on how you do on this. We need to do that. All right. It's the least.
And it is an election year, and they have to answer to their constituents. They have to. So please do it.
Got it. All right. Thank you very much for doing this.
Thank you for having me.
There you have it. The one and only from the state of Washington, Lee, L-E-I-G-H, Tuttle. Thanks, Lee. Have a good day.
All right. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
You bet. She's becoming a pro. What the hell? All right. We're going to take a break. And again, take 5 minutes out of your day to do that. It's really, really important. So, don't touch that dial. The Gunner is going to join us next on a Thursday edition of All Marine Radio, coming to you live from Washington, D.C., in the shadow of the Lincoln Memorial at the foot of Arlington Cemetery here in Crystal City, adjacent to the Pentagon. We're here for the Hilvet 100 Gala tonight. Yeah. Yeah, so All Marine Radio being honored. As one of the top 100 veterans in the media category. So it should be an interesting event tonight. So Ken Falk's going to be there. I'm not sure if Josh Goldberg's going to be there. I hope so. So get a chance to see him. I'll find out here in a little bit. So don't touch that dial. Gunner going to join us when we come back here on a Thursday. More of that, all of that, coming up next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.